So we have communion over here. Anytime that you feel the Lord drawing you, please come up and take communion. And I was going to share a little bit about the 31 women outreach that we just did at the laundromat, give you guys an update for those of you who couldn't be there. It went really, really well. A lot of people were very, very touched, and a lot of people were asking about our church and who we are, and some people were like, wow, that makes me actually want to go to church, and, you know, because some people said, do I have to go to church for this? We're like, no, we're just blessing you, like, you know, not a big deal, no pressure, we're just doing this as a blessing. And so some people were brought to tears, some people, I mean, you could just see their demeanor change. They went back after the first day and brought more friends and people who really needed it. So it was really great to be a part of it, and I know everyone who volunteered was so blessed to be there. And thank you to everyone who did volunteer. That was such a blessing. We literally couldn't have done it without you. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is our women's Christmas deal this year. We're doing 31 women and our women's Christmas party together this year. So I will be pre-selling tickets today. They're $5 each. And admission is you have to bring your ticket and a pair of socks to donate to someone in need. Hopefully not used socks, but if that's all you have, I suppose it'll work. So come and find me if you guys want to buy your tickets. We're going to have a full breakfast, big, huge breakfast. There's going to be a worship time, ministry time. It's going to be super special, and it's going to be really, really fun to get together with all the women. So purchase tickets for your friends, for your mom, for whoever. Bring other people. This is a great outreach opportunity for people that you know. So come and see me for those. And if everyone will just stand up today, this morning, while we get started. I was thinking this morning about, you know, the service and stuff, and obviously what God wanted me to share. And what I was really feeling this morning is so many times we come to church and we kind of get our fill and we go, and you know, there are times for all of us where it's like you just come and it's what you do and you receive and then you go home. But I really felt today like no matter what you've been through this week, no matter where you are, no matter what you're needing from God, let's let this service today not be about us. Let's put aside any need. I don't care how great your need is, how small your need is. Let's put aside our needs and just worship the King of Kings. Let's just come into the presence of God today, not requiring anything, not necessarily longing for anything but the presence of God today. Let's make this about the Lord today, and let's just worship Him. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and then Nick will lead us into worship. God, we just come before you today, God. We stand at the altar of the King, Lord God. We just bring our hearts before you today, God. No matter where we've come from, Lord, we just lay it at your feet today, God. We lay down who we want to be, God. We lay down what we want, God, or what we think that we need, Lord. We just pick up all of who you are today, God. Clothe us in righteousness today, God. Let us stand before your throne, Lord God, holy and righteous, Lord. Let us just focus on your presence today, God. There's no need greater than anything that you can fill in our lives, God. There's nothing that you cannot bring to our hearts today, God. We just lay everything before you, God, and we ask that you just meet us in this place today, Lord. Thank you, God.
Oh God, how great is your love.
Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. Oh, you lead us, Lord. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. Oh Lord, so remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Sing it out to the Lord.
Oh, we sing, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Your promise, oh God, so remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Oh, we sing, your grace is enough, your grace is. Your grace is enough for me. Yes, it is. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. For me, oh God. Oh, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Come on, let it wash over you this morning.
Oh, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Just receive that this morning. God, wash us, God. Wash over us with your grace. God, renew us with your mercy this morning. God, renew us with your power and with your love, God.
Oh, we lift you up, oh God. We call upon your name. Oh. Search, God, for you're more than enough for us. I don't have to look any further, God, for you alone are enough, God. You satisfy, satisfy our. Presence, God. Oh, we love your presence, God. God, we love your presence.
Come on, let's just sing to the Lord. Let's just sing to the Lord. God, we love your presence. We love your mercy. We love your glory, God. You alone are all we need. You alone are all we need. Yes, God. Guide our path, our way, and lead us straight, we pray, in the name of God. Come on, let's just sing that again. And in the name of God, and in the name of mercy, guide our path, our way, lead us straight, we pray, in the name of God.
Come on, we will worship.
We will worship you alone. We will bow before your throne. Righteous judge and king, you temper mine with mercy, you guide us in your grace, lead us not astray, righteous judge and king.
Come on, we will worship.
We will worship you alone. We will bow before your throne and praise the name of God, Lord of all worlds, compassionate giver of mercy. Praise the the Lord.
Lord of all worlds, compassionate giver of mercy, praise the name of God. Lord of all worlds, compassionate giver of mercy. Give mercy. Yes, God.
Incense rise, day and night, night and day, let
day let incense rise. For you are worthy of it all. Yes, you are God. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Sing that one more time. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all, God, everything, for from you are all things, and to you are all things, oh, you deserve the glory, you deserve the glory, for from you are all things. Come on, let's just give Him glory in this place. God, you deserve all glory and honor. God, you deserve all glory and praise, Jesus. God, you deserve it all, Father God. We worship you, Jesus. You are so mighty, God. You are so powerful, Lord. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we glorify you, God. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about how we feel, but it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. For your glory. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. God, it's all for your glory. It's all for your glory, God. We want to bring you glory. We want to bring you praise. God, we want to bring you our hearts, Jesus, today, God. God, we worship you, Jesus. We want to bring you glory, Lord. We want to bring you glory, Lord. Come on, church, let's just sing this out. We want to bring you glory, Lord. In everything, we want to bring you glory, Lord. Hearts, we want to bring you glory, bring you glory, we want to bring you glory, Lord. Come on, church, just sing this out. We want to bring you glory, Lord. Let our lives, we want to bring you glory, Lord. This morning, God, we want to bring you glory. God, we want to bring you glory. God, we want to bring you glory in everything that we do, Father God, in everything that we do, God, how we live our lives, God, how we do life, God, we want to bring you glory, God, we want to shine your name, Father God, we want to shine your praise, God. God, teach us, help us, Lord, give us strength, God, to shine your glory, God. Come on, last time, let's just sing that to him. We want to bring you glory, Lord. Yes, Jesus. We want to bring you glory, Lord, from our hearts. Oh, we want to bring you glory, Lord. We want to bring you glory, Lord. Yes, God, it's not about us. God, it's not about bringing ourselves glory, bringing ourselves honor, but God, it's all about you, Jesus. God, Lord, hide us behind the cross. God, hide us behind. God, you, Lord Jesus, we want to bring you glory. Yes, Father God. Yes, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Yes, Lord, we just want to see you lifted high. See you lifted high. We want to see you lifted high. Oh, yes, we want to see you lifted high in our lives. We want to see you lifted. Have your way in us. Rule and reign. Have your way in us. God, we are yours. Jesus, rule and reign. And have your way in us. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Come on, just ask God to rule and reign. Have your way in us. Yes, God, this is our prayer. Rule and reign. Have your way in us, in me. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Have your way in me. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Last time, let's just sing that to the Lord. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Have your way in us. Yes, God. Rule and reign. Have your way in us. This is our prayer. Oh, rule and reign. Have your way in us. Lifted high. Be lifted high. Yes, God. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Yes, God. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Yes, God. Be lifted high. 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 Be lifted high, God. Oh, yes. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high, God, be lifted high, 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 be lifted high. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Can we just all stand up this morning? And let's just extend our hands towards heaven. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Let's just ask the Lord just to be lifted high in our lives. It's so easy. It's so easy to get so busy with life and all the different circumstances that go on in our lives. That it's a lot of the times we just push Jesus down and he's kind of secondary or third dairy or fourth dairy. But we want Jesus just to be lifted high in our lives this morning. Amen. God, be lifted high. Come on, let's just cry out to the Lord from the depths of our spirits, from the depths of our hearts. Come on, let's just make a joyful noise to the Lord and ask God, just be lifted high. God, be lifted high in our lives. God, be lifted high in our hearts. God, be lifted high. God, rule and reign. God, have your way in us, Jesus. God, have your way in us, God. God, we don't want to run our own life. God, we don't want to do it by our own way, our own actions, God, our own will. God, we want your will to be done. God, we want you to be lifted high in every moment, every second, every breath. God, in our lives, Lord Jesus. Oh, be lifted high. Be lifted high. Come on, church. Be lifted high in this place. Be lifted high. God, rule and reign in our lives. God, rule and reign in our hearts, in our families, God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Come on, just cry out to the Lord. God, have your way in us today. God, have your way in us today. God, stir up the gifts of the Spirit. Stir up the gifts of the anointing, God. Lord, we worship you, Father. We worship you, God. You are glorious, God. You're glorious, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Have your way in us. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Rule and reign. Rule and reign, have your way in us, yes, oh. Rule and reign, have your way in us. Be lifted high, be lifted high. Last time, rule and reign, yes, God. Rule and reign, have your way in us. Jesus, rule and reign, have your way in us. Rule and reign, have your way in us. Be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. Lifted high, 'cause you are worthy of it all. It all comes back to that, amen. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
throne. I'm blinded by your love that flows, and nothing on this earth compares to you.
And
Behold his beauty. Behold his beauty. Bright lights. Bright lights. Bright lights. Bright lights.
We could sing it, great are you, you live inside of me.
Yeah.
Let's make it personal this morning, because he lives inside each and every one of us. He enjoys dwelling in us. He takes pleasure in being in us. And we need to remember that he was the one who chose us. You didn't choose him. You may think you did, but it says that he chose us. We didn't choose him. Say, well, Pastor Mike, I accepted him. It's only because he chose you. So we can say, great are you. You live inside of me. Can we sing that?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you live. You live. You live inside of us, God. And Lord, we do want to behold your beauty. We do want to see you face to face. We do want to let you rule and reign in our hearts so much that you're exalted, that you're magnified, that you're glorified, that we decrease and you increase so much that there's not much left of us. Lord, we just thank you that you're at work in us. You are the one that's at work in our lives. And you're the one that's going to be faithful to complete this work you've started in us. And we surrender to the process. We do, Lord. We yield to the process of transformation. God, we say that we must decrease and you must increase. Transform us, Lord. Metamorphosize us, God, to the place where we're not recognizable anymore. You are. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It's your good pleasure, God. It is your good pleasure. You enjoy this work inside of us, God. We thank you that what we are now, Lord, we can't even tell, but what we will be, God, is manifested, conformed to the image of your Son. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that was more than enough, for your shed blood that washes and cleanses and purifies and perfects us, and your body that was broken so that we could be whole. We receive that today, that truth, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good, isn't he? He is good. Praise the Lord. Well, if the children would like to come on up. I'm going to mention something here before. Mention it after? Okay, let the kids go down. Praise the Lord. You guys ready to go have a great time? Ready to go learn about Jesus? So let's pray for him. Father, we just thank you for your kids, God. We thank you, Lord, for these hearts, Lord, that are being mentored and nurtured and strengthened by you. And Lord, we just release right now, Lord, your perfect will over their lives. Lord, we release, God, your anointing, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. We pray, God, that they would realize who they are in this day. Lord, not when they grow up, Lord, but in this day, God, who they're called to be, and that they live inside of you and you live inside of them, Lord, and they can do greater things, God, than what they've done before in the past because of that revelation that you live inside of them. So, Father, we just release them into your calling and your plans for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to let you guys know about, it's been on the bulletin, but I don't know how many of you have really understood what it was. I had a few ask me. But on November 23rd at 6 p.m., this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and for the past, I think, 3 years, 4 years maybe, maybe longer, we've been having what's called a family communion on that night. And it's where we, as a pastoral staff, and we take communion with each individual family. This one night, we're going to do it a little different. We're going to do it as a family together. We're going to call it the Lord's Supper, and we're going to be downstairs in the fellowship hall. We're going to set up the tables. We're going to have a simple dinner, and then we're going to take a true type style communion. So I just encourage everyone to come. We're going to do it as a family or share as a family, and maybe pray for needs or bless each other. We're just going to take some time and honor the Lord for his great Thanksgiving he's brought in our lives, because without him, there's really no reason to even be thankful, right? Without him, you know, it's just temporal stuff. But with him, we can have eternal life. And that's what I want to have us focus on, what he's done for us, and see how he moves on that night. So would you please sign up for this so that we know how much food to buy and all that stuff? So, yes. That's next Sunday night. Well, November 23rd. Yeah, that's next Sunday night. Just make sure everybody knows that Sunday night is November 23rd. Did you guys know that? I heard that somewhere. So, it will be at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. And again, we'll have a meal, and you guys don't need to worry about it. We'll cover the meal, so it's going to be a simple meal. We're not talking like steak and lobster or anything like that. Although it does sound good. There we go again, yeah. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So I'm really blessed today to have a guest speaker with us. Not just a guest speaker, but a family member. And Pastor Dan, would you come up here? Pastor Dan is really cute sometimes. He'll call me up and he says, because I said, do you have a word to share with us? And he says, oh, I don't know. And he said, maybe. So I was talking to him and I said, well, you know, think about it, you know, in the next few weeks and see if the Lord gives you something for us. And he calls me up and he says, Pastor Mike, so when do you want me to preach at your church? And I'm like, I said, number one, it is not my church. It is the Lord's church, and it is our church. It's our family. And so when do you want to come and share with our family? He says, well, happen in a couple weeks. So we're blessed today. He's going to come and share with the family. Bless you, brother.
Good morning. It's been a rough week. I'll just start out like that. So if there are tears today, don't worry about it. I'm not crazy. I feel crazy at times. But, that's part of the process, I guess, huh? But the Lord is dealing with me about things. He's removing things from my life, people from my life that should not be there. And that's really tough. That's really, 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 really hard. But we're not going to focus on me today. We're going to focus on the Word. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 21. It's a great scripture passage, and it's all about individuals. And it's all about what God wants to do in your personal life, not a group setting, although worship is a great group setting. But if you think about it, it is an individual time with the Lord, just in a more family gathering. There are people that can receive from the Lord in a service like this, and then there are people that won't receive from the Lord, but it's still the same Lord, and He still wants to give to all people. It's how we are if we're receptive to what He's doing, right? And so I have to be honest, I have been trying to be receptive to what the Lord is doing, and I'll continue to be honest, and you may want to walk out in just about 5 minutes. You may not like what I have to say, but it is tough to be submissive to the Lord at times. It is very, very hard at times because you feel like, I feel like, I know what's best for my life, and so He and I go back and forth, and of course, it's not really Him. He's not moving at all. I'm just the one that's kind of pacing the floor. You know, He's not like boxing with me saying, hey, I got that, you know, I'm going to move in and take you out. He doesn't do that. But, you know, we as humans, I as a human, think that I'm in control. And I've realized over the last few months that I'm definitely not in control of my life. Not in control in the way that I want to be in control, because I'm a control freak. I like to control my environment. And when I can't control my environment, it really sets me off. And sets me off in the sense that I don't get, you know, screaming mad, although at times I do scream at God the last few months. So again, if that's your exit cue, go ahead and leave, because I'm just human. And it is a process, and I will make it through this process, right? All right, John chapter 21. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that it would be a blessing to those who hear it, a challenge to our hearts to truly surrender all things to You. And God, we know that life is tough at times, and it can be joyful at times, but even in the difficulties, it can be full of peace and joy. And I would just pray that that is what comes from this message, that, Lord, You would be glorified, You would be lifted up, exalted in all things, in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. And after these things, chapter 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He manifested Himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. This is the same Simon Peter that denied Him 3 times. Remember, Jesus said, you're going to deny me. He vehemently stood there and said, I will not deny you. Even if everybody else leaves you, I'm there. I'm going to die with you. And I truly believe He meant what He said. You know, He wasn't just shooting off His mouth. I truly believe in His heart, He had all the intent of going to the end with Christ. And how many here would say, I have every intent in my heart to go all the way with Christ until a crisis hits, and then we begin to evaluate again. We begin to kind of reevaluate who we are. You know, is it worth the cost? You know, and sometimes you're in the middle of the cost and you can't back out. It's almost like you've hit a point of no return. You've got to continue, because backward is not an option. Quitting is not an option. You got to finish what you're on. And that's where Peter was. So Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. This is the leadership and Peter coming out. Everybody said, okay, we're going to go too. So Jesus said to them, chapter 21, verse 5, verse 4, let's say, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, have you not any fish? You have not caught any fish, have you? They answered him, no. And he said, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find the catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul in it because of the great number of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and we know that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that, now notice that he didn't recognize the Lord, he just heard that it was the Lord. Sometimes we don't recognize what God is doing, we just need to hear it is the Lord. Because when you hear it's the Lord, the recognition comes. But if you're looking for a recognition before you hear it's the Lord, then sometimes you're not going to move. So if you watch what Peter does, he the Bible says he girds himself, or he puts on his coat, and he jumps in to the sea, and he begins to swim to the shore. They're about 100 yards from the shore. I'll just kind of paraphrase. And the other disciples, you know, I'm sure they're saying, well, there goes Peter again. Hot, you know, he's half-cocked. He's moving and all this stuff, you know. So we're going to roll our boat along to the shore. They didn't want to get wet. If you notice, Peter's always the one that says things and does things. When Jesus walks by the boat in the middle of the storm, you know, they all scream out, it's a spirit or it's a ghost. And Jesus is there saying, you know, peace be still. It's me. Hey, it's all me. Again, they didn't recognize him, but Peter heard it was the Lord, heard his voice. And so he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on to the water with you. And of course, Peter gets out of the boat. The other disciples stay in the boat. Jesus walks in. We know the story. Peter sinks. He gets up, walks with Jesus. Jesus says, you have little faith. I don't know about you, but little faith does not constitute walking on water. But of course, it does in the mind of God if you don't keep walking on the water, right? If you sink, that's not a good thing. So he gets there, verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging a net full of fish. So when they got there, they got to the land, they saw charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and the bread. It's interesting that they get there and the fire's already going and there's already fish. So my question is, where'd the fish come from? Because it came from someplace. So Jesus either went out early in the morning, caught some fish, or just said, you know, fish be there. He can do whatever he wants to do. There was fish. But notice what it says here. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have now caught. Isn't that interesting? I'm providing breakfast for you. It's already being cooked, but I want you to join me in what I am doing. That's where you say, wow, that was powerful right there. Okay? See, we expect God to do everything for us, but he wants us to participate with him in what he's doing. He wanted to feed them, but we need to feed us. He brings everything that we need in order to be fed, but then he says, what have you caught? Bring it here, and I'll add it with mine. That's amazing. You see, I'm going through some things, but I can't just totally, okay, God, you do everything for me. He says, okay, I'm doing this. Now you need to do this. What have you caught? What have you learned? What have you done in order for me to combine what I'm doing with you so that we can have a successful outcome? God is a God of success. God never fails, right? Sometimes we fail to recognize what God is doing in our lives, and we call it punishment, we call it abandonment, we call it all sorts of names, and none of those things are true. They feel true. They feel right, but they're not right, okay? I've always said this, if your emotions and your feelings are different from this book, you need to change your emotions and feelings because they are wrong and this is right. This is always right. This is never wrong. You say, well, that's kind of arrogant. It's not arrogant. It's what God says. My word will not return to me void. I will send it out. It will accomplish. It will come back. And it will bring forth a harvest. And sometimes in the midst of what you're doing, Peter had just denied Christ 3 times. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus sends an angel to the women at the tomb and says to them, go tell the disciples and go tell Peter. He individually singles him out because he knows that Peter at this moment is having a really difficult time, that he has denied the Lord. Can you imagine telling Jesus, I will never do that, and the very next moment that's what you do? How many's ever done that? Oh, Lord, I will never do that again. 5 minutes later, I'm doing it again. And then the devil comes along and says, you know what? Yeah, he's done with you. That's just not going to work. You know, you gave it your best shot. But, you know, Jesus is really disappointed in you. Can I tell you, Jesus is not disappointed in you. He's not ever disappointed in you. We are disappointed in us because we try to live up to an expectation, I think, that we place on ourselves, not what God places on us. See, we think I'm strong enough to go through all of this, but I'm not strong enough to go through all of this. I need His strength. I need His fish on the fire cooking my dinner or my breakfast. But then I need to bring to Him what I have caught and combine it with Him. Because He wants me to participate in what He's doing, right? Okay, Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Isn't it amazing what God knows that we need as humans? You can't go in 90 days and not eat. You're just not going to make it, right? So God addresses their physical needs. Come, have bread. You've been doing this all night long. Come, have some breakfast. Regain your strength. Regain your clarity. Regain. You know, when you're sick or you're going through grief or you're going through hunger, you know, your clarity kind of gets all screwed up. I'm sorry, but you are messed up. What looks like is up is actually down. What looks like is black is actually white. What looks like love is not really love at all. And so you chase your proverbial tail, trying to find what you're looking for all the time, and it really is already there. And we're just running away from the very thing that sustains us. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just run away from God? Okay, don't give me those blank stares. We do it. Either we think we're strong enough, or God's not fair, or I've got this figured out and I can do this on my own. Can I just say this emphatically? You are not designed. I am not designed to live life on my own. I can't do it. And can I say this too? God will make sure that you cannot live it on your own. So just put those thoughts out of your mind right now that I've got this figured out. You and I have not got it figured out. I'm just going to say me. I haven't got this figured out. I wish I did. I wish that tomorrow my life was just completely normal again. The doggone it, it's not. And it will never be normal again. It will never be the same again. So I've got to live in a new same or a new normal with a new direction, a new purpose in my life. And the only way, the only place that can come from is Him. I am preaching better than you're shouting, okay? I'm just going to say it right now. Amen. Come have breakfast. So none of the disciples, listen, none of the disciples ventured to question Him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Now, how did they know it was the Lord? Did He look like the Lord? I'm going to assume from this passage, this is my assumption, He did not look like Jesus. Not the Jesus they knew. He wasn't a different Jesus, But somehow he had cloaked himself. They didn't recognize him, but what they recognized was his voice, his command, and his actions. So that's why the Bible says none of them ventured to say, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. So when you're in the midst of something, going through something tragic or great, and you don't recognize the Lord, when you hear his voice, you know it's him. And even if you don't hear his voice, when you see things going on and you see that you're not falling apart, although you feel like you're falling apart, and you're not going crazy, even though you feel like you're going crazy, I don't venture to say, "Who are you, Lord?" Because I know it's him. Do I like what he's doing? Absolutely not. And I tell him every day, "I don't like what you're doing." That is straight up Christianity. I don't like it. In fact, if I can be so bold, I hate what is happening. My flesh hates it. But in the midst of all this, he says, "Come have breakfast. You need to sustain yourself. And I've got this going, but I want you to bring what you have so we can bring it together. Because when I eat his food and combine my food with his, it is a great breakfast. And he can help me do what I need to do." Amen? Jesus came and took the bread, gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples and he was raised from the dead. So now it becomes individualized. Now it becomes not just all the disciples, now it becomes one disciple. And I'm thinking that it's Peter simply because God wants to address in him some stuff. You're not being picked on. You're not being singled out. You're not being, you know, put in front of the class with a dunce hat on your head. You're not being called stupid or silly. You're not being called any of those things. But he is going to address you on an individual basis. He just will. That's how God works. So we think that we're in this group setting and, you know, Mary, Paul, and Peter and all these guys are all being ministered to and we're looking for a word from the Lord. You know, "Barbara, what's the word of the Lord today?" "I haven't got anything from the Lord." So we go to Rhodes, "What's the word today?" You know what? Stop looking for a word from everybody in your life. Start looking for a word from him because he wants to sit down with you and he wants to talk to you. He loves you and he wants to talk to you. So he addresses, and let me just say this. I'm just going to read this real quick. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" When God asks questions of you, he's not looking for information. He knows it all. He asks questions so that you will see something. "Elijah, what are you doing here?" How do you know that God knew Elijah was coming? He didn't get up to the cave and say, "Whoa, Elijah, what are you doing here?" He didn't do that, right? And he asks him three times, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And he gives the same answer, just like Peter, he gives the same answer. "Lord, you know that I love you more than all of this." Isn't it easy to say that? "God, I love you more than life itself until life actually happens." When the fat hits the fire and the rubber hits the road and all the other proverbial things that we say life sucks, then God says, "Do you love me more?" And he's not being sarcastic. "Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this?" And the third time he was grieved in his heart and he said, "Lord, you know all things." That's a good answer. Stop trying to give the right answers. Because there's not a right answer. It is a test. It is a test not developed to destroy you, but to conform you and to make you into His image. Trials come to make us like Christ. And in the midst of the trials, I'm just going to use me. You feel like you're crazy. You feel like you've lost your faith. You feel like dying on the inside. I think I told two or three people, Big Mike, thank you for being here. Preach on, my big Seventh-day Adventist brother. My Penta brother. I feel like I'm dying on the inside. There are days that I just feel like I just want to die. But that's not God's plan. His plan isn't to put me through a test so that at the end of the test I think, oh my God, now can I die? Can we just bury, can we just have another funeral and put another casket right here? That's not what He's doing. He's not doing any of those things. My flesh, the enemy, you know, the world says, this is what is going on in your life. That is not what's happening. What is happening is Jesus has asked me, Danny, do you love me more than Brenda? That's a good question. That's the first time I've asked that question. Do you love me more than that relationship that you have for all those years? Can I tell you, I depended on her so much. She was all the things I write about. She was my confidant. She was my lover. She was my best friend, my wife. All the things that a marriage is supposed to be. And I didn't realize that our marriage was so great that everybody else's is really not. And I thought, what? You mean you don't trust your wife? You mean you don't have conversations? What do you do? Well, I don't even like you, but I just don't like her at all. I'm just stuck. You know, I've been down the road 50 years, and I'm just going to die now. That's not what God designed it for. Marriage is like Christ in the church. It's a mystery how you take two people so different and bring them together and make it work. Right? Anyway, that's all. That's a side note. Do you love me more than these? And he answered, Lord, you know that I do. And he said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, maybe it was 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, maybe it was right afterwards, I don't know. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. How many here would say, I hate you, Lord? Not one of us. The response is, I love you, Lord. I really love you. But love is just more, is more than just words, is actions and what we do with those words. Feed my lamb, tend my sheep. And then finally he said a third time, Simon, do you love me? And yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. Apparently my answer is not right. Apparently what I'm saying to you isn't correct. Apparently everything I'm saying to the Lord is just what I'm expected to say that. You don't go to church and say, you know, we don't sing, I hate you, Lord. We don't. It's always, I love you, Lord, or I want your presence, because that is the proper thing to say in the church. Is it not? It is. But when you're in the midst of crises, and you're in the midst of, you've just denied him three times, and you feel like all is lost, you know what? I'm going to go back to my fishing job. Can I tell you what? If you try to go back, it's not going to work. If you try to go back to what you did before Christ, it doesn't work. And if you think you find something that is what God's will is, but it changes you, at your core level is not God. And yet you're saying, yes, this has got to be God's will for my life. Yes, this is the one. This is it. I know this is right. And then God says, this is not right. And I can see, and I love, don't you love Jesus? When you won't do it, he'll do it. When he says, I need you to give that to me. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. That's, you know, it's no big deal. God says, okay. Do you love me more than this? Lord, you know I love you. Then I need you to... Okay, now I'm preaching to myself, okay? Give this to me. Do you love me more than that? Lord, you know I love you. And then when he asks you a third time, do you love me more than that or that person or that thing? You better be grieved and say, God, you know all things. You know all things. And I believe God gently removes it from you so that again your dependency is on him and not something else or someone else. I don't know why God chose to remove my bride at 54, and it's been, what, 6 months? But he has a purpose. He has a plan. And I think he's saying, do you love me more than all of that? Today I want to say before this congregation, yes, I think I do. But tomorrow, it might be a fight again. It may be, God, I don't understand why you did what you did. And I don't understand, God, why you are allowing this in my life. All I know is that his plans are to give me a future and a hope. Verse 18 says, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus talking after he's asked him three times. When you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. You ever been down that road? Still on the road. You feel young, you feel alive, you feel vibrant, you feel like, man, you can conquer the world. I want to do whatever I want because that's got to be God's plan. You know what? God's plan does not involve me doing it any way I want to do it and how I want to do it and how I think it should be done. Doing God's will is hard sometimes because it takes you through valleys, and it takes you through tunnels, and it takes you through caves, and it takes you through, you know, mountainous regions, and it takes you through people wanting to actually take your life, even after you've called an entire nation back to God, and you get a letter from a woman who says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to take your life. And you take off. And you think, my God, he was Elijah. How did he take off? Why would he take off? Because Elijah was human. With real emotions, with real fears. And yet, he gets to the cave, and God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? He's not seeking information from Elijah. He's getting Elijah to try to see something. And what is his response? Lord, I've been very zealous for you. I've done a lot of stuff for you, and now they want to kill me for it. You know what? I'm just done. I'm done. Have you ever said that? I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. I'm done. We would never take our lives. We would never give up on God. But on the inside, we say, I'm just done, Lord. I just can't do this anymore. Right? The message actually does get better. Just hang on a second. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Of course, he's talking about how he's going to die. They're going to crucify him upside down. But in his death, he will glorify God. It's amazing that God uses broken people. It's amazing God uses people anyway. But God uses broken people. That never ceases to amaze me, Mike. That he chooses to use me anyway. After all of my nonsense, after all my stuff, he chooses to use me anyway. Is anybody getting anything out of this? I was going to preach anyway. It doesn't matter if you get anything out of this. He signified the death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Simple command. He didn't chat about it. In fact, he didn't even explain to Peter what he was saying to him. Can you imagine if God explained everything to you that you're about to go through? How many would like that? On this day, I'm doing this. And it's really going to suck. He doesn't do that because he knows us. We're human, right? And we would run away from the very thing that will strengthen us in the end. I want my life to be perfect. I want my life to be as it was. I want my life to be what it was. Had God chatted with me and said, now, Mike, Dan, this is what I'm going to do. Your wife's going to get cancer. Okay, Lord. And she's going to get healed miraculously on her deathbed. We're going to raise her up, and all these people, the doctors, they're all going to get saved. Woo, yay. It did not work that way. We prayed, and we fasted, and this church prayed, and there is hundreds of thousands of people literally around the world praying that God would heal her body. I was believing God was going to heal her all the way up until the day the moment she died. Truly, truly was. In my heart, I knew he wasn't. But he did not discuss that with me. Can I tell you, God does not have to discuss things with you. He's God. But he has fish on the charcoal burning and cooking. And he says, whatever you've caught, bring it and we'll mix it together. And we'll have breakfast. Whatever you're going through, he's already got something to sustain you. But he wants you to bring what you have caught, either in a lesson or in a practice or in a revelation or whatever. Bring it to his fire. Because in his fire, he purifies what you bring. The fish that was on the fire that he caught was already pure. It was his. He was already purifying it. But whatever I bring to him, he wants to put it on his fire so that he can purify it, so that when I consume it, it actually sustains me. Elijah ran from Jezebel, and I'm jumping back and forth, I know. Gets the letter, he runs, goes about a day's journey, sits down under a broom tree, and says, Lord, I'm done. You know what? I'm just done. And he falls asleep, and an angel comes by, slaps him on his side, wakes him up, and what's going on at that moment? There is fish and water prepared for him, and the angel says, Elijah, you've got to eat. You are human. If you do not eat, you are going to die. If we do not consume what he has for us, we will die. Because we cannot live on yesterday's blessing, on yesterday's experience, on yesterday's movement. We cannot live like that. And when we fall asleep because we're exhausted, and we fall asleep because we've done it, and now I can rest, God will always wake you up. And He will always say, you still need more. Because your journey's long. Being selfish again right now, I've been in this thing 6 months. And honestly, I do not see the end. And I hate it. I said, God, just show me a glimpse, something down there that I can see that's going to be over. And God says, bring what you've caught to my fire. Let me cook it for you. You eat it, and it'll sustain you. Amen? I love this. Jesus said to him, follow me. Verse 20. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know is John, following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who would betray you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, isn't this just like us? Lord, what about him? We always want to get the attention off of us, right? I know Jesus said, me follow him, me do this, me, but what about Gay? Or what about Steph? Or what about this person? Or what about that person? I'm always turning around, looking around, comparing myself. I know nobody else does that, but I kind of compare myself to people. Well, they don't got it as bad as I've got it. You know, at least they've got, or at least they're not. And I love what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they're going through. And it doesn't matter even if it looks like their life is so stinking blessed. And they've never had a loss. They've never had anything. And it's like, can I say this word in crap, Lord? What in the world? Why? What the heck? That is my word. I'm sorry. Crap, heck, whatever. Okay? What is going on? And Jesus said, it doesn't matter what they're doing, and it doesn't matter what they're going through, or it looks like they're totally blessed. And I hate what especially Pentecostal people say. Well, if you're not in a trial, you're going to go through one. Why would you wish that on anyone? Well, because I'm in a trial, I'm in a test, and I'm hurting, and I want them to hurt too. As much as I talk to Mike, and as much as I talk to Gaylene and other people about my hurt, they can never know what I am feeling. As badly as I want to just grab their head and say, feel what I feel, they can't. But what is that to them? I have to follow the Lord. This is my time. This is what I'm expected to do. Trust the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Because when I do that, He will work it out. And I can say this only by faith. And this is that. I know the plans that He has for me are so amazing and so wonderful and so glorious. And I'm not talking getting to heaven, but right now on earth, that He has chosen me. What a privilege to be chosen by God to walk through this. It's not what I would have chosen. If He would have said, Dan, we're going to have a chat here. This is what's going to happen in the next couple of years, and this is what you're going to have to go through. And You excited about that? I'd say, no. I'm not excited about that. God doesn't tell us everything. He tells us enough to know it's Him, and the rest is up to us. They did not recognize Jesus from the shore, from the boat on the shore. Nobody asked Him. Nobody ventured to say, "Who are you, Lord?" Because they knew who He was. Even though sometimes He doesn't look like it, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, sometimes it's not what I would have thought God would have done, but you and I both know, all of us know, when it's God and when it's not God. I do. And again, He says, bring what you've caught, mix it with mine, and we'll have breakfast together. I know that's pretty simplistic, but therefore, verse 23, don't you like how church rumors get started? Therefore, the saying went around, the brethren, that this disciple, John, would not die, yet Jesus did not say that. What Jesus said is, it's none of your business. Worry about you. It is none of your business what I'm doing in their life. We are so much in everybody's business that we don't mind our own business. We want everybody to do it the way we do it, and if you don't do it that way, then my God, you're lost and undone forever, and you're going to go to hell. Or not. Or whatever. God is not interested in what you think about what somebody else should do. What He's interested in is, are you willing to do what He's asked you to do? Because if you're willing to do that, then you can do anything. Last point, Peter was taken out by a slave girl. After he had boldly proclaimed, isn't it funny how we boldly proclaim things when things aren't happening? To the death! Until you see rockets being fired at you and people like throwing spears. Not so fast. I didn't mean to the death. What I meant was really not even that. I just want to be safe, right? That's what we do. But we are ready to die for the Lord until the fat hits the fire. And then it's a whole different story. Aren't you one of those that were with Jesus? No, it wasn't me. No, I'm sure it was. No, it wasn't me. And then a little slave girl says, it was you, because you talk like him. What a privilege. But he was scared, and he said, it's not me, and he actually began to swear, whether it's I swear it's not me, or begin to crap, it's not me type stuff, right? That's what he did. And the Bible says the rooster crowed, he went out, wept bitterly, and he said, you know what, I've blown it. There's no way God can love me now. We know the story, go back to the tomb, tell Peter, blah, 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 when you're converted, you will strengthen your brethren. And so this is what he's saying. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, finally, you know all things. Obviously, I'm not doing this right. I don't know what's going on. He says, follow me. But it was Peter on the day of Pentecost that got up after being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he preached a message where 3,000 souls got saved. See, the Peter back here, Lord, I love you. I'm going to go to the death. It's not the same Peter that's here. Something happened between here and here that prepared him for here. He was tested, he was tried, he was asked, he was strengthened, and he was filled. And then on the day of Pentecost, he could get up. While everybody's laughing, these guys are all drunk. The old Peter would have said, yeah, you're right, they're drunk. There's something wrong with it. I don't know what's going on. But he got up and boldly proclaimed and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. seen it, but it's the ninth hour. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and upon my servants, my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit. This is that. And he preaches an amazing message. You can read it. And the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? He gives them the message. Repent and be baptized and you shall be saved. 3,000 men respond. Church starts growing. And at the end of Peter's life, it's amazing. When they're about to crucify him, he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. And historians say that they crucified him upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. When you are old, they will carry you away where you don't want to go. But when you're young, it's like, I'm going to do my thing. It's all about me. There has to be a point that you grow up from here to here in order to glorify God. And whatever you do in life is all about glorifying Him. Amen? So if it means the death of my wife, that at the end of my life, I'm going to glorify Him, then so be that. I can't change it. I can't go back. I can't wish it were the day before or the year before. It's just that doesn't work. I can get mad at God and say, God, I hate this and I do that. But at the end of the day, I know He's my only hope. So I can't let go of Him. When I'm young, I'm doing my thing. When I'm older, He's carrying me where He wants me to go so that my life will glorify His kingdom and people will be saved. There you go. And that's it. God is good, right? Why don't you stand with me if you would? So your walk with God is individual. It's not a group ticket. Because at some point you're by yourself. The crowd's not there. The encouragement isn't there. People don't understand. You ever call somebody, I need prayer, and they don't answer their phone? So you call somebody else and they don't answer their phone. And you go to somebody's house and they're not home. And God's saying, they're not your answer. You think that's what you need. What you really need is Him. They can pray for you. They can listen to you and thank God for people who pray. And people who will listen and not judge. And not think you're silly or stupid or anything like that. But they listen, and they may say, oh, brother, and lay their hands on you and pray. But when the door shuts behind you and no one's there, it's just you and Him. And He says, you follow me. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about Mike or Gay. Don't worry about Barbara or Bill. follow me. And I'll take you to places. Introduce you to people that you never thought possible. But you have to submit to his process. You have to submit. And above all, you have to be honest. When he says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." That's that religious part of us talking. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord." That's the church part of us talking. "Yes, Lord, you know I do." That's the church thing to say. But then he says, "Do you love me?" You might as well just be honest. "Lord, you know all things." "I don't know." "But Lord, you know." I'd rather not know and trust him that he knows than to say, "I know, but I don't know." Because it's when you're honest before the Lord, that's when he can work in you. If you're not honest before the Lord, and I'm not saying you have to say, "Lord, I don't know if I love you." I mean, if you love him, love him. "I love him. I do love the Lord. But there are days I don't know. There are days that I think he's unfair. There are days that I think he's asking way too much, and I say that a lot. I say, "Lord, you're asking way too much of me." "I cannot do this anymore." Somehow I go to bed and I wake up and I do it again. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. And all he's asking is that we follow him. Wherever he takes us, wherever he guides us, follow him. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that before this congregation, this church, this family, you have spoken to me. And it doesn't matter what everybody else does, how they live their life with you. That is not my concern. My concern and my obligation, responsibility, whatever you want to call it, is to follow you. And you've asked me that. "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And I need you to do this. Do you really love me?" "Lord, you know I do." "Are you willing to go through this?" And finally you say one more time, "Do you love me, Lord?" And I might as well just be honest. "I don't know. I do love you, Lord, but you know all things. Father, you're not condemning me. You've not forsaken me or anyone in this room. And so I'm asking today that you help me and help us to follow you. We're not meant to live life alone. We're meant to live it with you. And Jesus, before this crowd, I need you. I need you more than life itself. I need you more than anyone else. I need you, Father. Help me to do that. I am weak and I'm tired. I am unable to complete the task that you've given me. But complete this task I will, because you will strengthen me, you will love me, and you will provide for me. Because I've got to bring something to the table. I've got to bring myself. I've got to bring what I am and what I have. I've got to lay it at your altar on your fire so that you can roast it, that you can cook it. So, Father, that it will sustain me through this time. Thank you for Mike. Thank you for Gaylene. Thank you for my friend Big Mike. Thank you for people who will talk with me and let me talk, even when I make no sense at all. I love you, Lord, and I praise your name. Be glorified in my life and in the lives of all your people here today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going through something and you need prayer, would you come? I'd love to pray with you. Turn it back to Pastor Mike.
Again, if anyone needs prayer, please come on up. Well, I want us to go today and let those truths penetrate us. Let them work in us. Don't just leave this service and forget the word. God was trying to get our attention, waking some of us up, encouraging us, speaking one-on-one. But don't just walk out the door and leave it here. Take it and ponder it, chew on it. Ask God, how does it apply to your life? Don't let it just be a message that you heard. Let it be a word that you consumed, that changed you, made you better, more like Jesus. Thank you, brother. For your honesty, purity of heart. I love you. I want to do one more thing here. Remind you that Sarah up here has the tickets for the women's. Over here? Over there is where they're going to be? Oh, with them too? Okay, so I get... Okay, Gay will be over here with the tickets. And it is for the ladies' Christmas brunch, December 6th. Okay, God bless you all. Love you.
And on top of the mountain, I will. Depths of the ocean, my soul will see as I walk through the valley. I won't be afraid, for I know that you're with me. You'll never. Early. So bless the Lord, oh.
Lord.